Welcome to the October 13th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 25, and the sermon is entitled, The Beginning of Marriage, Married and Not Ashamed, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
And as we come before His Word, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles, go to the book of Genesis, and I'm grateful that we can meet together in this place. One of the responsibilities of the pastor is to feed the sheep. Feed those who God has entrusted to you, to your care. And I'm grateful today that we do that. I feel like that I'm so unworthy of doing it, but God has called me to do it in this place at this time. And so faithfully, I want to be faithful to God and be faithful to His Word. But also, on a very serious note, the other responsibility of the pastor is to know when the flock is under attack. To recognize it and then to speak to it. And so today, God has led me to one of the biggest ways that Satan is attacking Clifford Baptist Church. In order to get to the church, Satan's got to get to the people. And so today, I began a new series very prayerfully and humbly, even last night, wanting to rip it up and start over. But looking at a view of the family and what marriage should be. I believe in our community, in our churches, in our church family here at Clifford, Satan is attacking us and our families. In the larger picture of the world, and the Christian family is under attack. At any moment, we are living in a post-Christian world. And we have to realize that. We understand how the United States of America was built and what it was built upon, but we are not there anymore. We cannot deny that and we cannot be ignorant of it. We are not living 20 years ago. We are not living 60 years ago. We are living in a time where the idea of the family is being shredded and redefined on a daily basis. And because of that, family and marriage is under attack. I'm no expert in marriage. I've only been married 19 years. Some of you have been married double and triple that. The only authority I have to stand here and preach this message today is God's Word. And hopefully the desire of God's heart, you hear that through a simple message as we talk about the beginning of marriage and the title of that, Married and Not Ashamed. Now, you may be sitting in this room today and you may be in the stage of life, whether you're a teenager and you say, this does not pertain to me. Maybe you are an older person in life and you have been married many years and you say, I've got it all figured out. Well, God bless you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say simply this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Today's message is for everyone. And I want to make that clear. You may be sitting beside a person that you have been married to for many years, that you have been in love with for so long. Maybe you are high school sweethearts. You may be sitting beside the person that you hate their guts right now. I say that laughingly, but I say that 100% in truth. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 95. Please understand this. Marriage begins with God. And if marriage does not begin with God, it will be defined and redefined however the world sees fit. So with God's word, today and for several weeks, we're going to camp out on this subject of marriage. So nudge your husband or your wife and just tell them to pay attention to what God has to say. And maybe you're here today and you know somebody that needs some instructions, not from a pastor, but from God's word. Encourage them over the next few weeks to be here. I know that some of you today are not even thinking about marriage, or you've been there and done that and you have the t-shirt. Maybe some of you have lost spouses, so you are hurt. Today, I pray that these pages of Scripture hold truth for you. Genesis chapter number 2. So far in Scripture, if you begin in chapter 1 and you just read straight through, so far in Scripture, beginning in chapter number 1, everything is good. God is working, God is moving, God is speaking, and He is creating. And even in this room, some of you will debate that. But here is my firm belief: God spoke it into creation, and it was formed by the very voice of God. And everything that God has done, it was good. And so creation and light and land and water and sky and animals and man was done so by the direction of an almighty God with the mere voice of God. And as chapter number 2, we go along a little bit deeper as God has created a garden and He decides that there needs to be a caretaker of that garden. And so He creates a man and He puts that man in that pleasant place. And that's where we pick up Scripture this morning. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 15. Here's what it says: "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Point number 1 today, when we think about being married and not ashamed, is this: God establishes the boundaries. You don't. God establishes the boundaries. We don't. And when we understand the opening and the beginning of chapter 2, and God is working and God has a beautiful place of a garden, we take this marriage and you say, "Jeffrey, those verses don't even talk about marriage. They talk about working in the garden." But here's what I want you to see: as God puts man to work, God begins to give active responsibility to man over His creation, and responsibility in His creation to do and to follow His instructions. Some of those instructions for Adam in that garden was he was to dress it, and he was to keep it, and he was to freely eat from every tree except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here came the warning: if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. I hope you understand that boundary. That is a boundary that God established in His place for His creation and His time. But just as we see God establishing boundaries in His garden, He does so within marriage as well. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get to some of those boundaries. But listen to this verse from Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. It says this: "Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I cannot sugarcoat that. If you're living outside of the boundaries of a God-ordained marriage, you will stand before God and answer for that one day. Ephesians chapter number 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There is a boundary. And so today, the boundaries and the rules were written by God. And we must understand that as being the truth of God's word. And so I want to warn the church today that many of you are experiencing an attack upon what God has built. How many of you in this room, and I want you to be honest, you're in church, you better not lie. How many of you, once you open the door of your house, you kick your shoes off and you go in? How many of you, before you enter your house, you take your shoes off? Raise your hand. How many of you, before you enter your house, you can say, you can come into my house with your shoes on? Come on in. Raise your hand. See, we even differ what that looks like. Many visits I've been on, I take my shoes off on the porch because that's what Terry has set up boundaries for in my house. I came from a place where I didn't have to do that. Listen to me. I say that jokingly. I say that as an example. But there are boundaries. And I know that if I go into my house with farm stuff all over my shoes, that I will be sleeping with the farm animals. When I come to your house, I honor your rules. And when we come before a holy God and we talk about a very serious subject, we've got to be willing to honor God's boundaries, God's rules. And in doing so today, it starts with the truth that is found in God's word. It does not come from a political party. It does not come from a movement. It does not come from man. It comes from God. And so we see at the very beginning, God is setting up boundaries in this very perfect place. And then he understands that there is more that needs to be done. Look at the next verses, verses 18 through 20. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Point number two today, and married and not ashamed, is finding help. Finding help. I don't know how you think you found your significant other. I believe I found mine by the grace of God and God putting her in my life at the right place at the right time. I was working in a clock factory up the road, and they hired a secretary. And that secretary caught my eye. And I thought that she had to have a friend. And I didn't want to ask about it. So I went to Sally Cope. Many of you know Sally Cope. And I said, "Sally, you got to help me out. Find out something and report back and you let me know." Long story short, I asked her out to a concert. She turned me down on the first date, okay? But here we are almost 20 years in May. 20 years in May. I tell you that because I didn't put that. I couldn't have planned that. God orchestrated that, and God looked at Adam and all the good that was happening and all the things that God had ordained and all the things that were going on, and he sees something. Adam needs help. Men, we need to understand this part of God's design, that we need help. Your wife is your helpmate. And many times what I encourage in marriage is that it must be a team. You must be on the same team. Up until this point, all has been good. And in verse number 18, you need to underline the words, "It is not good." As God looks out, He sees something different. He sees something wrong. And He says this, "Man should not be alone." Every animal, every living creature had a helpmate. And here is, I'm not going to get into this argument. Animals are good. Please understand that. But animals don't fill the void that a human does. And so Adam had all the animals. And even God labels the mosquitoes and gnats good. How can He do that? The one thing that is not good is His prized creation is alone. I say that and look out at this congregation and know some of you are alone because of life circumstances. Some of you are alone by choice. Some of you are alone because your spouse has gone to be with the Lord. God is your helpmate. And you need to rely on God as your help in these days. But as we look at finding help, God sees that man needs help. Adam must have an helper. He is naming the animals. He is calling them out. And he realizes, I don't have anyone for myself. I want you to understand this. Even if you feel a call to a life of singleness, God has a plan for you. God put Terry in my life not to be a friend, not to be a sister in Christ, but to be my wife. Our relationship is different than any other in this room or in the world because I need her help. She completes in Jeffrey what only God could put her there to complete. And so today, I believe that as we look at our marriages and marriage not being ashamed, we must admit, men, we need the help of our wives. God has established men to lead their families, to surrender to Him, and to lead their families in worship of the Lord. And I could not do that every day without the love and understanding of my wife. If you are ordained or desire to be married, it is my belief that God has a helpmate for you. Be faithful to Him to seek out that one. But you must honor boundaries according to God's plan, and they will lead you to where you meet those people that God has in store. So what happens in the rest of the story? Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." As we think about not being ashamed, I want you to see the special delivery. Just when God sees that man needs help, God has the answer. And that answer comes in form of a woman. God puts Adam to sleep and takes the rib out of his side. And he goes to work to fashion the perfect woman to help him out. And here's what we need to understand. The woman or the man that God has placed in your life is there by design of God. I believe that wholeheartedly. There is a country song, very spiritual, I say that jokingly, that I have sung sometimes. Keith Whitley sings it, and it says, "I think I want my rib back." I say that to tell you this. Marriage is not easy. Marriage is not for the faint of heart. There have been times over 19 years I wondered, did I make the right decision? And I'm sure Terry has thought those things as well. But here's the reality. She is that special delivered gift to my life that completes me. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, right or wrong, dirty as it may be, she is mine. And I am hers forever. Forever. When we were talking about marriage, I told Terry, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. Did somebody turn the heat on in here? I say those things jokingly because I have to lighten the mood, but now I have to come back serious. Some of your hearts feel that way. Some of your hearts feel like if I could redo things or if I could go back to the drawing board, I would have never done this. God, what did you do when you begin to point your hand at God and then you leave the church and next thing you know, marriage has simply become a thing of the past. Our world enters it and lays it down. It exits it very quickly and very easily. And I want you to understand this. Terry is a part of me. And I am a part of her. And as we are joined in union with one another, we are a machine that work together. And it is not pretty or perfect, but it is God ordained. And that's the only way it works. As Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And I'm not going to get on this soapbox because you know where I stand. Women and men are defined in Scripture, and marriage is between a woman and a man. That's God's design. Don't hate me for that. That's what I believe. As we think about that special delivery, I want you to think about that someone. If you are married, you have that special delivery. There's nobody else in the world that can replace what God has put in your life. Today, if you are in that season that you have lost your loved one, I know that you can look back and thank God for that moments and those times that you've had with your loved one. If you are in a season of singleness and you desire marriage, keep praying. God will provide if it is His will. Trust His timing. The special delivery is important to each of us. There's one more point. Verses 24 and 25. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I began reading this, and I said, what in the world? Adam and Eve didn't have a mama and a daddy, so how can they leave mama and daddy and cleave? I'm grateful for the writers that give us a picture of leaving an earthly father or mother But as this statement is given by God, it drives home the idea of this, that we are married to be one flesh. To be one. In God's math, the way that God does math, one woman and one man equal one flesh. One plus one does not equal two. One plus one equals one. And so just as God has designed the other to complete you, I want to say this in an unashamed way. The leave and cleave method must be followed. There are marriages in trouble in this room because of in-laws. And I'm not going to tell you the statistics, but here's what the statistics tell you. I'll tell them to you. The men can't leave mama, so that causes trouble in their marriage. I don't need any amens right there. Thank you. Statistics say a lot of marriages end because the men don't leave mama. Now, I will go on record by saying this. I am a mama's boy. And my mama loves me. But I firmly believe there's no human being on this earth that loves me more than Terry Campbell. Nobody. Even the dog's crying. God, thank you for humor. One flesh. One flesh. If you are sitting in this room and you think there is someone out there that can love you better than your spouse, you are dead wrong. God has put them there and placed them there, and you might have to work through the hard days of life, but you can do it with God's help, and you can do it with the love because you are one flesh. The cleave method. Leaving means you must leave the earthly love of your parents. The cleave method speaks to that of glue or a weld. And when you cleave to one another, here is the idea. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that can come between you and break you apart. Cling to one another. Trust God to orchestrate and to lead your marriage. And don't be ashamed to allow God to lead your marriage. The world does not want to hear that. The world wants to redefine that. Married couples today, when we think about married and not being ashamed, we think about a time of invitation. And this invitation goes for every person here. Maybe there are boundaries in your marriage that God has placed, and maybe you have crossed them, or maybe you're thinking about crossing them, or maybe, just maybe, you don't agree with them. In order for God to bless it, it's got to be by God's design, and it's got to fall in those boundaries. And so today, if you are thinking about boundaries, you need to know they are God-ordained and ordered in order to protect and bless what He has instituted, which is marriage. Maybe you do not view your spouse as your helpmate. Sometimes the best help in my life is for Jeffrey just to go outside. Cool down. Get away. But God allows me to do that. so that I can come back in and very lovingly understand and talk to my wife. Maybe today there are some help issues. And I'm not going to get into this. There are some things that you could be doing. There are some things that I could be doing better. But Jeffrey washes dishes. Jeffrey does clothes. So men, don't you dare say the boundaries. Don't you draw those boundary lines. You better be careful who's drawing the lines. Because nowhere in that Bible does it say that the woman has to cook. Or she has to do the clothes. See, we draw those boundaries, and when our spouses step outside, hey, that's divorce. Are you helping one another? Or are you hurting them? That's the question. The last thing that I want to speak to is the leave and cleave. Maybe in this room, you have a spouse that you love and you have left the love of the world and the love of your parents and the love of sin. I encourage you to cleave to your husband or your wife. And doing so, that is a welded bond that will not be broken. But I also want to encourage you here, if you are young and you say, Pastor, I don't have anybody to cleave to, or maybe you're older and you've lost your spouse, or you're single, here's my instruction. Cleave to Jesus. Jesus is your spouse. Cleave to Him. Today there's a lot more I want to say. And that will come out over the next couple of weeks. But we've got to set the beginning of marriage, which means that we have to look where it started. God began it with Adam and Eve, and I believe He wants those early principles to continue. And I'm just going to open this altar up for anyone that wants to come. Just because you come to this altar does not mean that your marriage is in trouble. Just because you come before and bow before God, it doesn't mean that things are on the rocks. You just need God's help. Here's what I know. As your pastor, we are under attack. And we just got to get back to the basics. That's where it starts. Today, if you're here, maybe this is your first Sunday. I just want to invite you to know this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the one that can make any relationship what it should be. But in order for it to be its fullest, you've got to know Him as Savior. Jesus Christ loved you enough that He died for you. He took your sin to a cross. He paid your debt that we may have life and life eternal through Him. Today, maybe you need a healing. Maybe you need a relationship with Him. And I want to offer that opportunity because He could be knocking on your door. Today, whatever the need, the Holy Spirit is moving. I pray that we are obedient to that. Church, pray for your marriage because Satan is at war. Father God, Lord, thank You. As you understand how hard this subject and weighty this subject is, Lord, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy that covers it all. Lord, maybe somebody in this room has been through a divorce. Maybe they're bitter and hurt. God, I believe You can restore that. God, I believe that You can forgive that. Maybe there's someone that has recently lost a loved one, a spouse, and they're hurting tremendously. God, I believe that You can restore joy where it is lacking. Lord, maybe there are marriages in this room that are going smooth and sailing fine. And Lord, we just pray over those marriages, Lord, that You will continue to lead and guide each person in that marriage. Lord, I know there are marriages under attack. So God, as we come before you today, we do so knowing that you're going to meet us here and that you're going to provide wisdom and direction and protection over the people of God. Lord, I pray that we understand that we've got to leave some loves in order to love our spouse fully. That we've got to cling tight to our spouse, tighter than any other person in this world. So God, we come before you just praying over and for our marriages as Christian men and women in this community, that you will give us that clear example of what your word lays forth. Thank you, Lord, for your great, great love for us. And that you use sin-filled human beings to model your love to a world that needs it. May we do that through our lives, and may we do that through our marriages as we do that through the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.